collaboration like this entitled today wouldn't be possible without proper thanks to several people that helped put this together. It's not me just putting the cantata and directing the choir. It's quite a few people involved that helps make this go. I want to say special appreciation to Debbie Burns, who got the youth together and worked on the speaking parts, at Colleen Blake and Becky Ross for helping with the little kids. And just want to say the primary speakers here is Andrew Burns is the narrator today, Logan Blake is Melchior, Pombe Yusupo is Amar, Brolin is the merchant, I think that might change. Alex Burns is Balthazar, Joe Burns is Gaspar. Joe, thank you for popping in at the last minute for us. Rebecca Freeman is the beggar. The temple scholar is Josephine Agin, and Joseph is Alex Yusupu, and Mary is Ariana Davis. So sit back and listen to the story of the Christ coming in song and word.
Thank you. star appeared in the heavens, Melchior was not surprised that he felt compelled to study it. However, he was surprised when he discovered that the star seemed to move, as if to entice him to follow. Even more, he was perplexed about a vision that he had had. A vision that so moved him that he began a journey, a search for a newborn Jewish king.
Amar.
Yes, Father?
Amar, I need your help. There are some earthen vessels on a shelf in the outer room. Will you bring them to me? I want to pack them for my trip.
Yes, Father, I will bring them. Father?
Yes, son?
Father, how long?
How long?
How long will you be gone?
That I do not know for sure. But not to worry. You'll be safe here with your mother and the other children. Work hard at your studies every day, and I'll be back before you know it.
But why?
Why what?
Why must you go?
Son, I'm an astrologer. You know that.
Yes, a student of the stars, the wisest in all Persia.
Well, I have made a spectacular discovery.
Yes, a new star. I know all about it they talk about it in the streets.
Oh, in the streets, eh?
Yes, they say that you had a vision about the star and a baby king in the west.
There was a vision.
They also say that you've heard evil voices from the darkness.
No, that is a lie.
And they say...
Yes, go on.
It's not true, is it, Father? You are not leaving your family for a senseless journey, are you?
Amar, come here, my son. I have doubted, I must be honest, I have too wondered if this would be a senseless journey. Believe me, I have doubted my own sanity. I have struggled with this calling for many, many days. I do not even understand it myself.
Father, let me go with you.
No, no. I do not know where this journey will take me, where it will end. All I know is that this new star will show me where to find this king.
Then if I cannot go with you, will you take this gift from me to give to the king?
Amar, this is your favorite toy.
Yes, it is.
Oh, son, of course I'll take it. And if I do not find... Well, at least this will give me some comfort on the way.
A wise man he was, yet confounded by a compelling call from the Most High and humbled by a simple gift. Melchior himself had planned to carry a costly vial of frankincense as his offering, but then he wondered, would either gift be enough for the king?
I've not found
countryside, one city to another, wondering where it would lead. Next, wondering if this mysterious holy pilgrimage would ever end. Suddenly, as though it had marked the spot where the royal treasure lay, the star seemed to pause over an Arabian marketplace.
Silks, fine silks for sale, spices, imported spices. Sir, yes, you look as though you have a real eye for quality goods. Come and see, something for your wife, something for you.
No thank you.
So, these are not good enough for a man of such need and means?
No, that's not it. I'm not here to buy. I won't need silk where I'm going, and I have all the fragrances I can carry now.
The busiest marketplace in Arabia? And not here to buy? Oh, to sell, then I suppose. How much? I will give you a fair price for your spices.
No, no. I am here neither to buy nor sell. I'm here to find someone.
Well, I know all the merchants and the regular customers. Maybe I can help you.
I don't think so. Unless you know something about a king.
Oh, a king. Oh, sure. I stay in company of kings every day. In fact, I'm expected at the palace right now. Don't want to keep his highness waiting.
I'm very serious. I have a guide from the heavens that has led me all the way from Persia to visit a newborn king.
Oh, a guide led you here?
Well, yes. I follow this guide by night and by day, but I still do not know the exact location of the king.
A guide from the heavens, huh? I met someone today. In fact, two men who maybe can help you. I'll tell you more. For a small fee.
Good head for business, I see. Oh, all right.
Foreign coins, huh? No, then let's say my information for that vial of frankincense.
Melchior had to admit that it would have been easier that way, to trade his offering for a shortcut. Maybe he could explain to the king why he had arrived so quickly, but without a fine gift to present. Yet Melchior decided to trust his heavenly guide just a little further. Perhaps in time, he will find the king and finally understand the vision, his call, to the faraway kingdom that heaven itself had built.
Oh,
days passed, and the star remained in its place. Still, Melchior waited near the marketplace. His warm fire seemed to draw other travelers.
Ah, a warm fire. Excuse me, sir. May we warm ourselves here?
Yes, yes.
So, Gaspar, our Arabian deserts serve cruel at night, huh?
Yes, the chill seemed to sink in much deeper here than in Babylon, where I come from.
Babylon?
Yes. Do you know it?
I'm from Persia. I have just traveled through Babylon recently.
Oh, what do you think? Are the deserts in Arabia colder than those in Babylon?
Persia, huh? Why so far from home?
I'm on a journey for my work. I study stars.
A magi.
Yes, I am Melchior, the magi.
Following the new star?
Yes, all the way from Persia.
To find the king?
How did you know?
We too have had the vision and followed the star. I am Balthazar from the other side of Arabia. This is Gaspar from Babylon. We discovered each other today in the marketplace. No thanks to that merchant.
We have gifts. Gold and myrrh. And you?
Frankincense.
Ah, valuable.
And I have another small gift too. Less expensive, yet more personal. And so, here we are. Babylonian, an Arabian, and a Persian, all looking for a Jewish king. I do not know. I studied long and hard, and for what? To leave it all behind to chase a ball of fire across this wasteland? I must be a madman.
Oh, so they call you a madman too, huh?
You?
Yes, I've been called worse. And believe it or not, some even accused me of hearing evil voices from the darkness.
No.
It's true. Of course, the hardest thing was leaving my family. They didn't understand.
Yes, I have a son who will probably be a man when I return.
If you return.
If. Do you think there are others beside us who have been called?
Who can know, really?
I'm sure everyone on Earth has seen this star.
Yes, but do they know its meaning?
Do we?
So many questions. Was their journey to worship indeed futile? Were they alone in their quest? But in the midst of all their doubts, the star shone brighter than ever, never dimming, never failing, to give them hope and courage. No, their journey was not futile, and they were not alone in their search. For under the same starlit sky, shepherds too have been called to worship at the cradle of the king.
Thank you.
turned into weeks, and finally the star led them to Jerusalem. The Magi had heard about this place, the center of Judaism. It was no surprise then when the star lingered there. After all, where else but in the holy city would a Jewish king be born? Yet as they entered the gate, what they found raised even more questions.
Alms, alms for the poor.
This is the holy city, they thought. But where was the wealth, the magnificence they expected? And where was the excitement that should accompany the birth of a great king?
Alms, alms, just a nugget of gold for the poor widow.
The Magi found no coronation, no celebration going on in the temple courtyard. In fact, they found no one in the temple except a common beggar.
Excuse us. We are strangers here and wondering where the coronation is taking place.
The coronation?
Yes, for the child.
Child? What child?
Let me handle this.
Now, dear woman, we will give you a nugget of gold as you ask, if you tell us where to find the king.
Oh, yes, the king. Wait here. I'll find someone to take you to the king.
See, I know how to deal with these people.
The Magi were directed first to the religious leaders in the temple. Again, they asked about the king.
Yes, may I help you?
We are Magi from the east. We have seen a star that has led us to your fair city.
Yes, we've come a long distance to see the king.
I'm not sure, Eve.
And, of course, we have brought gifts.
Well, perhaps. Come with me. I'll see if an audience with the king can be arranged.
But the king they found was not the promised one at all. He was a ruler appointed by Rome, a man named Herod, who seemed to be unusually curious about their search for the king of the Jews. After consulting with the religious leaders of Jerusalem, Herod told the Magi what the prophets had predicted. Bethlehem, they were told. The king was expected to be born in Bethlehem, only a few miles away. They were almost there. The long, hard journey was about to come to an end. Finally, they would present their gifts, they would bow down, and worship the holy king. last time the star moved. It led them away from the great city of Jerusalem to the nearby village, where it came to rest over a very humble-looking dwelling. Just outside, they found a young man, a Jewish man. The Magi introduced themselves and began to tell about the star and their search for the king. Yet before they could explain, the man smiled as though he had been expecting them. He began to tell the Magi about his vision, his dream. Joseph said, "Mary, my beloved Mary, was no more than a child when I asked her father for her hand in marriage. I was so happy when her father felt that she was old enough. But before we could wed, Mary discovered that she was carrying a child. We were not married yet, and naturally, I was upset and worried. But an angel appeared to Mary and to me and assured us that the child was from the Lord God himself." The young man described his own journey to Bethlehem, the night in the innkeeper's stable, and the marvelous moment when God's son drew his very first breath. And then there was the invitation, an open door to approach the King of Kings. As the Magi saw him for the first time, they knew their journey had not been in vain. Each one gave his gift. Each one embraced the moment. Each one bowed down before the living God.
Thank you.
Their search was over, their mission complete. It was time to return to their own countries. Bidding his traveling companions farewell, Melchior suddenly remembered the promise he had made, a promise to present a gift on behalf of his son. But the gift, the child's gift, so lovingly given, had somehow been broken during the journey. How could he stand before the king with an imperfect offering? Yet how could he not fulfill a promise to his son? Feeling ashamed of the broken gift, yet knowing he should not withhold nothing, the call came again, "Come and worship." It was like hearing it for the first time. Perhaps that was true worship after all, laying everything, even the doubts, the fears, all the imperfections, before a holy God. Who called wise men to the Christ child, now invites all people to the adoration. Come, he says. Come and worship. Come to the celebration. Come now to the coronation.
Sunday school program. Way to go, guys. Thank you.